If you agree with our strong stand for biblical truth, we invite you to partner with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation. Thank you for considering making a tax-deductible contribution today or becoming a regular monthly contributor at worldviewweekendfoundation.com. That's worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Thank you.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
Welcome. Glad you're with us. Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today. I know he normally joins us on a Thursday, but we had so much going on this week that we pushed him back to Thursday, and he was gracious to allow us to do that. So Dr. John Whitcomb joins us today. Before we go to Dr. John, let me just tell you, I will pick this up tomorrow and discuss it, and that is the issue of ISIS and their connection at our U.S. border. Now, folks, we just did our television program, which I think airs this week in the Milwaukee market, or maybe it aired last week, but the worldview war at the border, and we told you there are experts saying that all of these kids on the border, flooding the border and these families, is a distraction. We have experts saying that. Experts, folks, not just somebody with an opinion. Experts, including the president of the retired Border Patrol Association. And that this is a head fake. This is flooding one region so all the border agencies and personnel and resources are directed to one area, which leaves open a huge area on the border unprotected, certainly not protected to the degree that it should be, and then are slipping in drug lords, gangs, MS-13 gang members, and terrorists, and potentially dirty bombs and worse. And sure enough, that was our program just a week or two ago, and now the news story is ISIS is working with Mexican cartel. They are on our border. Folks, they have just beheaded. I have not seen the video. I refuse to watch the video. I am not going to watch the video. I do not want to see it. I do not want them to accomplish their goal in making Americans afraid. So I don't want to watch it, and I do not want to have those kind of images in my mind. So I'm not watching it. But they have beheaded an American, and they're threatening to behead another one. And we don't know how many journalists they have. There are supposedly 20 journalists missing, and they may have now 19. And this is ISIS, which is really Al-Qaeda renamed, folks. This is really Al-Qaeda renamed. Our president says they're the JV team. Well, I don't think that's the case at all. And I want to know, where are these Christian, quote, Christian leaders now with their crocodile tears on the border about all the families and children? Which, by the way, we told you many of these children are not unaccompanied. Their parents put them within eyesight of Border Patrol agents and tell them, go to that guy. They slip into the U.S. The kids go to the Border Patrol agent. They go to a processing center for 30 days, reunited with their family, who then bring them to their parents hiding out in the U.S. with relatives already. And yet the media is not telling you how this is really going down. They're coming to the U.S. with nice clothes and cell phones. Some of their parents are already in the U.S., and we have a news story of one lady from Honduras who's on camera saying yes. And she paid $3,000 to a coyote to bring her kids from Honduras to her, and she was already here in the U.S. waiting for them. But yet we're led to believe by evangelical leaders that we need to be for amnesty. Look at all these kids. And we said there's a legal way to go through this. There's a legal process for protecting your borders and securing Americans, which is the first responsibility of government. But yet these ignorant simpletons, and I think the more ignorant, the more simpleton, the more feminine, the less masculine you are, the higher you go in evangelicalism. Have you noticed that, by the way? The more feminine you are, the less masculine you are, the higher you seem to go, the more your books seem to sell. I don't know what happened to a sturdy band of masculine men who will stand up, speak truth, declare righteousness, What has happened to them? Where are they? And why is it that those kind of guys, they're not the ones that are so popular? What is it with the generation that seems to be attracted to these pansies in the pulpit, these feminine individuals? I'm not trying to be unkind, but there used to be a day and age when I was being raised, when I was growing up, we actually respected men that acted like men. They were actually men of conviction and masculine. And in fact, those television characters were the ones that were popular. I'm thinking of John Walton on The Waltons, Michael Landon on Little House on the Prairie, you know, Little Joe on Bonanza. Today, the characters that are popular on television, have you noticed how feminine and weak they are? And they're the butt of the jokes? And notice that that trend is now the case within evangelicalism. The men that are leading these organizations, so many of them that are popular and selling the books and speaking at the conferences, and the face of evangelicalism, i.e. Joel Osteen, i.e. the pastor of First Baptist, Dallas Jeffers, they tend to be guys that are not super masculine. And I'm not trying to be unkind, folks. You know, I'm not some 250-pound, 6'4 guy myself, all right? So I'm not the poster child or poster guy for masculinity. But I'm far from being feminine. I'm far from being weak. I'm far from being a wilting flower. And yet so many of these guys, that seems to be the epitome of evangelicalism today. And we warned you again and again that this border of ours is setting up our own children, our own women, to be at risk. I would again think as a man, we would simply say this is unacceptable because of our children and our wife. I have a wife and I have children. And there ought to be, I would think, millions of men that would say simply as a father, as a husband, this is unacceptable because I know what they desire to do to my, not only to me, but first and foremost to my wife, to my children, what they desire to do. And God forbid the day we see them carry out an attack on a school full of children or a building filled with children. We will have no one to blame but ourselves for not being the men that demand that our politicians, our elected officials, our religious leaders act like men and protect our women, our children. So here's the headline today. ISIS is working with the Mexican cartel. And I will get into this more tomorrow and get your thoughts on this. Again, please understand, I am not trying to be insulting of people. I'm not trying to be unkind. But there is a dangerous trend of the feminization of the American male and the American evangelical male. And when we see the culture embracing feminine men who have little convictions, if any, that's bad enough. But when the church, when evangelicalism begins to embrace men that cannot take a strong stand on truth, on black and white issues, but embraces willingly and excitedly pragmatism, ecumenicalism, false teaching, false teachers, and women in the pulpit, women teaching men, this feminization of the evangelical church, it troubles me greatly. Because not only is it unbiblical, it has serious consequences, not only for the gospel, but also for national security. So I'll touch on this tomorrow. ISIS working in Mexico, on our border, with the Mexican cartel. And who is helping to, I think, weaken our borders? Evangelical leaders who don't seem to have the God-given common sense and discernment to understand the war on the border and the philosophies. And they themselves seem to be thrown here and there by the cunningness and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming, Ephesians 4. So I got that off my chest today, but we will discuss this in greater detail tomorrow. Now, speaking, by the way, of masculine men, and I'm being dead serious, I remember being 10 years old when this very large man, tall, broad shoulders, walked into my house, and I literally remember him as a 10-year-old thinking, wow, he's a big guy. And he was indeed the kind of guy that I was taught to look up to, the kind of masculine men that we saw as a commonplace within evangelicalism when I was growing up. And his name was John Whitcomb. And many of you know, he came and had dinner at my home with my parents when I was 10 years old. And these are the kind of guys I grew up respecting. And I'm glad to call him friend, and he's with us on a regular basis here on the air. Dr. Whitcomb, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, brother. It's a joy to open God's Word and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us about how great our Savior, who is our Creator, really, really is.
Would you like to comment real quick before we go to our list of questions on the feminization of the American male that we see today? You're 90 years old, okay? So you fought in World War II.
Yes.
You know what it is to be a masculine male. Now, we're not talking about people that abuse their children or wife. That's not what we mean. We're talking about men who love their wife, love their children, but they're men of strong conviction and courage. They're not wilting flowers. They have the courage of their convictions. They speak truth and love. But today we seem to have, not only in the culture, but sadly within evangelicalism, a disdain for men that are courageous, that are convicted, that are masculine. Can you speak to the impact of feminization on evangelicalism today before we go through our list of questions?
Yes, of course, that is one of the trends that the Bible predicts. In the latter days, here's a terrifying statement by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He said, when the Son of Man returns, will he find the faith on the earth? Not will he find any believers, but will he find the faith? In other words, anyone who really believes the whole Word of God. And I'm wanting to say, Lord, please help me. I want to be faithful to everything you said. You said the right thing about men, about women, about children, about families, about relationships, and I want to be faithful to that paradigm, basic structure that you've designed. And of course, Satan, we let's face this fact right now, and I know Brandon agrees with me. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against mere people, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this age. That's Satan and demons who want to break down every institution God has ever established, every distinction, every truth, every doctrine, and that feminism is one of them. The Bible speaks about that many times. And we're 100% in favor of women, dear friends, or we wouldn't be here. You understand the point? God bless.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. His website, by the way, is WhitcombMinistries.org, WhitcombMinistries.org. You also find him on Facebook, Facebook.com/Whitcomb, and then on SermonAudio.com as well. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, we're going to go to a break, but so I'll have you answer this on the other side of the break. Here's our first question. Was the Levite described in Job 41... Are the Leviathan, described in Job 41, created on day 5 or day 6 of the creation week? So we're going to get to that when we come back. And then, time allows, we hope to open up the phone lines for you to ask Dr. John a question and have him answer it. Again, my guest is Dr. John Whitcomb of WhitcombMinistries.org. Now, I'm going to invite you also to be sure, if you tune into this hour every day, to make sure that you stay tuned after the news. And then Crosstalk, which starts at the top of the hour. This is a lineup of programming. It starts with Usama Dakdok, and then this program, and then Crosstalk. I mean, that's just some great programming right there. Not to mention what VCY offers 24 hours a day, but I do want you to stay tuned for VCY's Crosstalk at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Would you like to spend more time studying the Bible instead of flipping the pages of Bible concordances and commentaries? Well, then let me tell you about Logos Bible Software. We've been working with Logos Bible Software for about 15 years now. I've used Logos Bible Software for many years, and I've given it away as a gift to a lot of folks as well. I want you to visit logos.com/worldviewweekend. That's Logos, L-O-G-O-S .com/worldviewweekend. Now be sure you go to Logos.com/worldviewweekend because when you do, you're going to get a 15% discount on this software. That's the best discount you're going to find anywhere that Worldview Weekend has negotiated for our listeners. Check out the either starter package, the bronze, silver, gold, or platinum package of Logos Bible software. If you want to dig into the scripture and connect your life to God's word, I urge you to check out Logos Bible software and its vast theological library. You will not believe the vast Bible commentaries, concordances, and tools they have available. Logos Bible software is what I've used for years for research and Bible study, and I urge you to do the same. John MacArthur has said Logos is a magnificently rich resource for all students of the Bible. You will find these tools invaluable and wonderfully convenient to use. End quote. That's John MacArthur. Or how about Josh McDowell? He said, quote, in my 50-plus years of ministry, I've never seen a tool contribute to Bible study the way Logos has. It is a must-have for anyone who is serious about understanding the Word, end quote. Or how about Randy Alcorn, who has said, quote, Logos is one of my tools for writing. I can find exactly what I need, and often I discover something better than what I was looking for, end quote. Check it out, won't you? Logos.com/worldviewweekend. Logos.com/worldviewweekend. Now remember, when you go to that website, logos.com/worldviewweekend, you're going to get a 15% discount because we've negotiated that special deal for our listeners. That's why it's so important you use the URL, Logos, L-O-G-O-S, logos.com/worldviewweekend. That's logos.com/worldviewweekend. The Branson 2014 Worldview Weekend was well attended, and we are already underway planning Branson Worldview Weekend 2015. That's right, our 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. I want to tell you about it right now, early on, so you can be making your plans. You can be saving your pennies or nickels or dimes, whatever it is you save in order to budget for a trip like this. And you can, of course, save the date. Many of you email us months in advance saying, what's the date? Because I need to ask for that day off, that Friday of the conference. Well, the dates are April 24, 25, 26, 2015. I'm already booking speakers. I'll be unveiling the full speaker lineup soon, but it's going to be a great lineup. And as always, 100% new material. Now, this last Branson Worldview Weekend, we saw people from 39 states. That's more states than we've ever seen. We've never had people from that many states, 39 states. We also saw something new, too, and that is we saw a younger demographic. We saw more young people, more families with their teenagers. So it was a great diversity in age from teenagers to senior saints, and we love that diversity. That's the way we love it. And so we want you to go ahead, mark your calendar now, April 24, 25, 26, 2015, Branson Worldview Weekend. We'll let you know when you can start registering. Over the next week or two, we'll turn the page over to 2015, and you can start registering. But we wanted you to know the date, and wanted you to know we're planning on going back to Branson for the 12th annual Branson Worldview Weekend. So you join us, won't you? You can join us from all over the country. You can fly into the Branson, Missouri airport, or you can fly into Springfield, Missouri. Springfield, Missouri, just about 45 minutes away. It's a big airport there, relatively speaking, big airport for Missouri. But if you'd like to join us again for the Branson Worldview Weekend, or you've never been with us, we hope you will mark your calendar now. 100% new material, April 24, 25, 26, 2015, Branson Worldview Weekend. Well, I had to ask Dr. Whitcomb during the break, what is a Leviathan? I had no idea. See, folks, I don't know at all. I'm not afraid to admit it. But I certainly know people I can go to when I don't know the answers. And I certainly have a Bible I can go to on some many, many, many things, most things. But I did not know what a Leviathan was, so I asked. It's a dinosaur. So here's question one for Dr. Whitcomb. Was the Leviathan described in Job 41 created on day 5 or day 6 of the creation week?
Okay, this is amazing. If you look at Job chapter 40, verse 15, thousands of years ago, God said to Job that, behold now Behemoth, which I made as well as you. And then he describes a dinosaur that walked upon the earth with a tail like a cedar tree, not like an elephant, has a tiny tail, has a long tail. And then in chapter 41, here's the ultimate, the climax. Can you draw out Leviathan with a fish hook, or press down his tongue with a cord, or put a rope on his nose, or pierce his jaw with a hook? In other words, just try to control that dinosaur if you want. Well, what kind of a dinosaur was Leviathan? The whole chapter is dedicated to telling you his enormous strength. He could crawl right up out of the ocean. He was a marine creature. It was an amphibian who could crawl up out of the ocean and attack people. And nobody ever conquered him. Isn't that amazing? In fact, even fire came out of his mouth like bombardier beetles. He had that capacity. In fact, listen to how that 41st chapter of Job ends. It says, nothing on earth is like him. One made without fear, he looks on everything that is high. He is king over all the sons of pride. Now, where in the world did this dinosaur come from? Well, obviously, Genesis chapter 1 tells you about this. Listen to this quick statement here, please. We have prepared a set of CDs on dinosaurs and men that might be of interest to your children who want to know what those creatures were like. On the fifth day, that's the answer to the question, day five, not day six, on the fifth day when God made all marine creatures and all birds, you see, and on the sixth day when he made man, he made land animals. Now, here's what happened when he made Leviathan. Okay, Genesis 1:20, then God said, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. And verse 21, and God created the great sea monsters, Tananim, and every living creature that moves with which the waters swarmed after their kind. I say, Lord, how amazing that world must have been long ago, before dinosaurs, as we think of them, the huge ones, became extinct because the Genesis flood changed permanently the climate of the world, and it was no longer available, as it was before the flood, for dinosaurs to grow to enormous sizes. We have a million of them in Florida, but they're not that large. They're called alligators. We have many in Africa that are even bigger, called crocodiles. But Leviathan, oh my, I can almost say, thank you, Lord, they're gone. They serve their purpose unto you to terrify men to trust the Lord for help and to recognize the greatness of his glory and power as Creator God.
Hmm. Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. All right, here's the next question that one of you guys emailed into us, and that is, will Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, and Revelation 11, verse 3, happen at the same time because the signing of a covenant starts the 70th week of Daniel, and the two witnesses also start at the beginning of the 70th week?
Yes, the answer to that is yes. Now, listen to Daniel 9, 27, because this could start happening tonight. The beginning of the 70th week of Daniel could start tonight. And he, that is, the little horn of Daniel 7, the Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. That's the Jewish people will turn to him as their Messiah, their king, their leader. But what's going to happen in the middle of the week, 3.5 years later? Oh, how awful. He'll put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, complete destruction, one that's decreed. I say, Lord, I see the point. Right in the middle of the 70th week of Daniel, just like Revelation chapter 11 tells us, the two witnesses will be brought back from the realm of the dead to be witnesses for 3.5 years, 1,260 days to Israel. And they will be unconquerable. Fire will proceed out of their mouth, just like Elijah brought fire from heaven. And the other two of the two witnesses, I believe, were Moses, who, remember, had power to turn water to blood and bring plagues upon Egypt. They will bring millions of Israelis to the Lord, the beginning of that 70th week of Daniel. And so what happens during that period of time, I say, Lord, this is amazing. The Antichrist is conquering Europe, as we see, of course, in the later chapters in Revelation. And at the end of that 3.5 years, Daniel predicts he will break the covenant. He'll kill the two witnesses, Revelation 11, and he will begin to set up the abomination of desolations. Friends, awful things are about to start happening. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Do you know Jesus as your Savior who died for you and rose again because he loves you? God so loved the world. Don't take that for granted. Trust him. Thank him. Love him. Serve him. The awful, awful things are coming.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. By the way, folks, you want to get in your question for Dr. Whitcomb by email, you may do that. I know many of you listen after the program airs live, so you can't call in when we open the phone lines. And so you'd like to be able to send in your question for Dr. Whitcomb. And we've been doing this now every other week for several years now, and it's amazing. We just keep getting more and more questions. And you can email in your question, info@worldviewweekend.com. Please put in the subject line, Ask Dr. John, because that is how we know to forward them on to him right away. info@worldviewweekend.com, and then type in your question, but be sure to put in the subject line so we can find them quickly. Ask Dr. John. We get so many emails that a lot of times we just put in the search box, Ask Dr. John, brings up all the questions that have come in for Dr. John, and we forward them on to him. So that's how you can do that. All right, here's number three, Dr. John. In Amos chapter 5, verse 18, is, quote, the day of the Lord, end quote, the second coming of Christ?
Yes. By second coming, we mean a whole series of events that lasts for 7 years, a transition period beginning with the rapture of the church, 7 years, the great tribulation, then the actual second coming of Christ to the earth. You see, the first coming of Christ was a period of time, too, wasn't it? Over 30 years from the conception and birth of Jesus until his death and resurrection. So the second coming, likewise, will be a series of events called the Day of the Lord. And my, how awful that'll be. I don't want to be here at that time, because the book of Revelation tells you one thing for sure. It'll be unbelievably terrible. Listen to Revelation 6, verse 15. Kings, great men, commanders, strong, every slave, every free man will hide in the rocks and the caves and say to the rocks of the mountains, fall on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Now, here's the climax. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? You see, friends, the whole human race will know when the great tribulation has begun. The Day of the Lord, part one. And we have written a whole book on this general theme called The Rapture and Beyond. The things that will happen when the church is removed, the 70th week, Daniel, the great tribulation begins, the second coming in glory, and the thousand-year kingdom. I say, Lord, help me to be ready to share with people what's coming upon the earth, that they will trust in Jesus, who alone can save us from what we deserve in his mercy, grace, and love.
Okay, next one. What is the holy nation of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9? What is the makeup, function, and significance?
All right, holy nation, that's an amazing name for the church, isn't it? That's not the only name we have. Listen to this. Peter, who was the chief of the apostles, was entrusted with this precious book, 1 Peter. Now listen carefully. 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen race, speaking to Christians now, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Why? That we just glory in ourselves? No, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, see that? But now you are the people of God, and you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. So, friends, the church now is a higher level of privilege and glory than Israel ever was or will be. Even John the Baptist admitted he was just a friend of the bridegroom, not a part of the bride. And he knew that he would never be a part of the church, the body of bride of Christ, concerning which many wonderful things are spoken in the New Testament. And I say, Lord, help me to just thank you that I'm, by your grace, not because of any qualities that we have, by your grace, your plan, the church, the bride of Christ, is the highest level. Yes, we're even called a holy nation. And I say, thank you, Lord. In fact, you see in the same chapters, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that you're living stones built up as a spiritual house or temple for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, not animals, see, spiritual sacrifices, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. The tremendous difference between the body, the bride of Christ, the church, privileges, opportunities, say thank you, Lord, thank you, even higher than the nation of Israel.
Dr. John Whitcomb is the voice you're hearing. His website is whitcombministries.org. He is a theologian. He's an author. He was a theological teacher in a seminary in college for many, many years. By the way, Dr. Whitcomb, who are some of your students that have graduated whose names we might recognize?
Well, you know, we were thinking about that the other day. There are probably 1,000 or 2,000 of them. I never counted them. And some of them are very faithful, serving the Lord. Richard Mayhew, for example, the vice president of out there in California, of Master's College, was one of them. And, well, I just can't go down the list. Some come up to me and say, Dr. Whitcomb, do you remember me? I was one of your students. And I say, well, I have good news for you, sir. The only ones I remember were the ones that gave me problems. So praise God for the privilege of teaching for nearly 39 years. A couple thousand students, many of whom are still serving the Lord around the world.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Hey, by the way, our mutual friend Tommy Ice had a few stents put in yesterday in his heart, and he's doing very well.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yes, he did. He was just here with us a week ago Monday. We filmed 10 television programs with him for his new TV program. We'll be carrying this fall on our website and through our app and Roku channel and different distribution outlets. And he looked fine. He seemed fine. But he went in for a checkup, and he had to have some stents put in. And he and I have been emailing and texting. And then his wife gave me an update yesterday that he is doing great and was going to go home either last night or this morning. And so we ask our radio audience to continue to pray for Dr. Tommy Ice. And I know he's one of your good friends as well, isn't he, Dr. Whitcomb?
Right. And we'll pray for him and for Janice, his dear wife, that he'll recover fully and be able to function for the Lord. Praise God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And so Dr. Ice was here last week, and we're post-editing those programs for the fall. And even as we're speaking right now, our friend Justin Peters is in the TV studio here filming. He filmed 5 programs yesterday. He will film 7 programs today of the Justin Peters program that we'll be launching this fall as well. And Mike Abendroth will be coming to our TV studio, as well as others this fall, as we continue to broadcast radio and television programming that's very unlike what you see on most of the television networks today. We'll be right back. How would you like to receive $300 in Worldview Weekend DVDs? Hello, I'm Brandon House. And when you join the Situation Room, that's exactly what you'll receive. We're going to send you 20 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs as our way of saying thank you for joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. That is a huge part of our general operating budget. You see, without a healthy general operating budget, how can we produce all of the radio shows that we sponsor? Look at all the radio shows that we specifically sponsor and produce, like the radio show of Mike Abendroth, the radio show of Justin Peters, and the radio Bible teaching program of Susan Heck, and the list goes on and on. These are unique radio shows, many of them that we started, and we sponsor them. The same thing is true with our television. We not only have the Worldview Weekend Hour TV show, but we now are giving television shows, specifically their own TV show, to Mike Abendroth, Tommy Ice, Mike Gendron, Justin Peters, Usama Dakdok, and they come into our Memphis, Tennessee studio, they film them here, and then we, Worldview Weekend and Worldview Weekend Foundation, post-edit them and distribute them as a ministry. And then, of course, they roll into the Situation Room after a few days where you have this vast library of over $45,000 in resources. But we can't do that unless enough of you join the Situation Room, which acts as the general operating budget for producing radio and television. So let me be honest with you. When you join the Situation Room, you're doing us a big favor, but we also think you're doing yourself a favor and your family a favor by having access online to a vast library of MP3s, audiobooks, TV shows, transcripts, e-books, and much more. So please, join the Situation Room today, situationroom.net, and our latest offer, we like to update this offer every now and then, our latest offer is we're sending anyone that joins today, as of today, the new offer is 20 of our Worldview Weekend DVDs will be put in the mail to you. That's $300 worth of DVDs that we're sending to you as our way of saying thank you for joining the Worldview Weekend Situation Room. You can join now at situationroom.net, situationroom.net. This offer, sadly, is only for people living inside the United States of America because of the expensive cost of shipping outside the United States. But please, don't let that stop our international friends from joining. You can get the great value of the Situation Room as well by joining at situationroom.net. We just can't offer you the free DVDs because of the cost of shipping. However, those of you living in the U.S., join today, situationroom.net. We're going to send you 20 DVDs valued retail-wise at $300 as our way of saying thank you for joining the Situation Room and supporting our general operating budget that allows us to continue to produce radio and television from a biblical worldview perspective with many different hosts. Welcome back. Glad you're with us. Worldview Weekend Radio, our website, worldviewweekend.com. Reminding you again, you can join us for our training institute, October 3rd and 4th, here in Memphis, Tennessee. Outside of Memphis, actually, in Collierville, Tennessee. October 3rd and 4th for our training institute. And when you leave on that Saturday evening when the training's done, I'm going to give you a thumb drive with over $1,200 in curriculum, leader's notes, student worksheets, PowerPoint, video clips, everything you need to teach one of four biblical worldview classes. Put Your Beliefs to the Test, Religious Trojan Horse, Grave Influence, and Twisted Scripture, Twisted Theology. It's over $1,200 in curriculum we're going to put on that thumb drive and give to you. And by the way, when you attend, the class is a very nominal fee to attend, and your spouse can attend with you for free. We would love it if the spouse, your spouse would come with you. And we've had that happen many times. In fact, I think I told you that two ladies came to the Training Institute last October with their husband. And each of these ladies, independently of each other, came up to me and said, I wasn't planning on staying. I just wanted to stick my head in here and sit for a few minutes, listen to see what my husband was attending. And I stayed the whole weekend. I was planning on shopping because the hotel and conference center we're at is built around a mall, right in the center of a mall, beautiful outdoor mall. But both ladies, independently of each other, said the same thing. They weren't planning on staying. They just wanted to see what their husband had signed up for. And they ended up staying the whole weekend. These ladies did not even know each other. They did not even know that each other had come up to me to tell me the exact same story. So they thanked me because they were so thankful for what they learned. And so that's what we want. And see, now there's a helpmate going back to their community with their husband, encouraging him in the teaching he's going to do. And who knows, maybe some of these ladies would decide to teach this to a ladies group. Or maybe they'll just now have a greater passion for opening their home up and inviting couples and families into their home as their husband teaches these biblical courses. So I hope you'll check it out if you would like to join us, the Training Institute, October 3rd and 4th. And the full details can be found at worldviewweekend.com/training, worldviewweekend.com/training. Be sure to please click on the link for in-person training institute. Now, by the way, when you come to Collierville, Tennessee for this training institute, you might want to check out our town square. We have the cutest, coolest little town square with the train station, which has got some really deep Civil War history around it. But I'm told, it's all over the news here, that a major magazine, a major publication, national publication, that is in the newspapers of most newspapers have the Parade magazine, I guess it is, in their newspapers on Sunday. I guess the Parade has been voted, Collierville, Tennessee has the best Main Street USA, number one Main Street USA. Well, if you saw the little town square, you'd understand why. It's like something out of a movie set. And so maybe you can visit that and take in some history and some Civil War history as well. But you'll be right here in Collierville, Tennessee, so you can take that in if you'd like as well. All right, Dr. Whitcomb, here we are now. Question five. Will those who have rejected the gospel before the rapture be able to be saved if they're still living after the rapture?
The answer, if I can put it this way, is yes and no. Yes, people will be saved. Millions will be saved after the rapture of the church. Really? Well, of course, Matthew 24, Jesus says, the one who endures to the end shall be saved, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world for a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. And I say, well, that's amazing. But, of course, we realize, friends, that the bad news is that millions of people who do come to the Lord through the witness of the two witnesses, I believe Elijah and Moses in Revelation 11, and the 144,000 evangelists will spread all over the world. Remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world. The whole world. And but the bad news, of course, is that most of them will be murdered by the Antichrist. How awful. In fact, he said in verse 22, Matthew 24, 22, unless those days had been cut short to strictly 1,260 days, the Great Tribulation, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, the believers, those days shall be cut short. And so this chapter, Matthew 24, is full of statements like that. Verse 31, he'll gather his elect from the four winds at the second coming. There'll be people who will die for their faith. So I would never say to anybody, don't bother to accept Jesus now. Wait till after the rapture. How awful will be the fate of those who wait and reject the message. You never say to Jesus, I won't believe you now. I'll believe you later on when it's more appropriate, more convenient, more evidence that you are who you claim to be. So I say, Lord, this is a very traumatic choice, isn't it? Don't wait till the rapture. Take Jesus as your Savior who died for you and paid in full the penalty of your sin and mine, confirmed by his resurrection from the dead, and be right now ready to meet the Lord when he comes.
Number 7, are the tribulation saints part of the church?
The answer, the quick answer, of course, is no, because the church will have vanished from the earth in what we call the rapture. You remember First Thessalonians chapter 4, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air to meet the Lord and so ever be with him. And so that's the blessed hope we have of being glorified without dying. We'll be the only, first people ever who will be what? Prevented from dying and be glorified. So I say, Lord, help me to believe what you have promised and to enter into the church, the body of Christ, and be a part of that resurrection rapture event, the glorification of the church, the bride of Christ at the rapture.
You know, Dr. Whitcomb, I look at the news headline. I'm looking at one right now, the Jerusalem Post. Islamic State, that's this ISIS group. I don't know. I guess one day they're ISIS, one day they're ISIL. I don't know. But it's basically Al-Qaeda renamed. This ISIS group, this is the headline in Jerusalem Post today. Islamic State warns it has sleeper cells in the West, raises the stakes with beheading of American. And I touched on this at the beginning of the program. Then I look at the Ebola outbreak. I look at Ferguson. I look at the just incredible things going on around the globe, Syria, Russia, what's going on in Ukraine, Iran putting missile launching systems in northern Venezuela, the tip of Venezuela, I think it's Caracas, and that's like 1,200 miles from Miami as the crow flies. I could just go on and on. And this isn't even the tribulation. Can you imagine what the tribulation is going to be like if it's like this now?
Well, everything the Bible says about it is awful. And I say, Lord, not because I'm afraid of that, but because I love you, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior and be part of the body, the bride of Christ. And he would never pour his wrath on the bride, the body of Christ, during that period. He loves us and gives us higher privileges and position, not because we're so worthy, but because he has a gracious plan and a purpose that someday he'll unfold before our astonished eyes.
Number 7, do you agree with James Usher's flood date of 2,348 B.C.?
Let me say it very, very carefully. This is a controversial matter. How many years before the time of Christ did that Genesis flood occur? Henry Morris and I had the privilege 50 years ago of writing a book called The Genesis Flood. And in the final chapter, we dealt with this question. How many years ago did the flood actually occur? And it's a little complex issue. We trust that that book will be available to you on our website. And if you're interested in studying our reasons for thinking, that Usher's date is not quite accurate for several reasons. But the main point is this. The flood was not billions of years ago or hundreds of thousands. It was a very, very few thousand years ago that God destroyed the world and fossilized trillions of creatures. And as we see in the Grand Canyon layers and the abundant evidence everywhere that there was a global catastrophe, the flood. And I say, Lord, thank you for helping us to understand the magnitude, the significance of this event, and the fact that it actually did happen, not millions of years ago either. And I say, thank you, Lord, for helping us understand these vast, marvelous, complex issues from your precious book, the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Number 8, how can we pray for students returning to public schools?
Oh, what a challenge that is. I don't remember their name, but you probably recall a German family last year had to bring their whole family from Germany to America. They were desperate to prevent their children from being taken into the public school system of Germany, where they would be systematically brainwashed. You say, well, I'm glad that's never happening in America. Oh, really? Well, we're not forced to go to a public school, but when you do, when a child goes to a public school today, how much God-honoring, Christ-centered truth will he hear? Practically none. And therefore, what's our choice? Here, are you ready for this one? Every mother, every father of a child, okay, needs to have a home school right at home. Teach, pray, exhibit, demonstrate, urge the image of Christ, the glory of Christ in the home. So wherever the child goes to school, if it has to be a public school, what a challenge for mom and dad to do what God says, to train that child and to nurture that child in the admonition of the Lord. And we have faced that problem with our 6 children, too. And I say, Lord, help us to be very faithful to teach the Word of God wherever they go. And, of course, there are Christian schools, many of them very good. That's another choice. Many people don't have that choice. But one choice we all have as mother and father, teach that child whom God entrusts to you the whole counsel of God.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. The next question, we're going to have a break coming up here pretty quick, but we'll get to it. What are the trends you see in seminaries today?
Well, it's good and bad. There are some good seminaries that I recommend. There are some that used to be good that are not what they used to be. In fact, let me put it this way. There is such a thing as a second law of ecclesiastical thermodynamics. Everything by itself, if left to itself, will do what? Drift not up, but down. So God, in his mercy, in some schools that we recommend and that you would recommend, training schools for Christian servants, leaders, pastors, teachers, missionaries, are under constant stress. When good teachers pass off the scene, new ones are hired, younger ones perhaps not quite as dedicated, not quite as committed to the whole counsel of God, and things begin to drift down, 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 unless they are confronted by God day by day to be faithful. You say that's discouraging. Of course, that's true of every local church too, isn't it? Every missionary society, every Christian publishing company. We constantly need the Lord. Just don't drift. I say, Lord, help us. Spare us by your mercy. I just want to be very careful. Paul himself said in 2 Timothy 1:15, all they of Asia have forsaken me. My seminary that I had at the school of Tyrannus, the students have abandoned me. How? Lost of salvation? No. They just don't have a commitment to the truth of God as I did.
We want that. And we want that. Phone lines open, folks. Get on board. The Worldview Weekend Situation Room is filled with biblical worldview radio shows, TV shows, and Bible teaching programs. As a member of the Worldview Weekend Situation Room, you'll have access to the archived radio and TV shows, many of them going back a few years, like that of John Whitcomb, Mike Riddle, Mike Gendron, Carl Tykrip, Jimmy DeYoung, Mike Abendroth, Erwin Lutzer, Usama Dakdok, Chris Pinto, The Bible Study for Ladies, led by Susan Heck, T.A. McMahon, Justin Peters, and Jesse Johnson. You'll also get the weekly TV show of myself, Brandon House, the Worldview Weekend Hour, as well as the weekly TV show of Jimmy DeYoung, hosting Prophecy Today TV, Mike Riddle on Creation Training TV, and Mike Gendron's television show, Proclaiming the Gospel. You'll also have access to the hundreds of DVDs we produced over the years, including all of our Branson Worldview Weekend DVDs going back 11 years. You'll also have access to the audiobook of Grave Influence, the audiobook of Religious Trojan Horse, the audiobook of Twisted Scriptures, Twisted Theology, and many of my books in an ebook format. All of this awaits you in the Worldview Weekend Situation Room at situationroom.net. That's situationroom.net. It's just $74.99 to join for an entire year. You can join at situationroom.net. That's situationroom.net. Thank you so much for telling your friends about the Situation Room, and thank you for joining, because the Situation Room memberships are a big, big part of our general operating budget. So when you join the Situation Room, you're not only getting a great resource for yourself, but you're helping us continue to produce the TV and radio shows and the websites that we do each and every day. So thank you so much for joining at situationroom.net. Situationroom.net. 1-800-347-9829. 1-800-347-9829. We'd love to hear from you if you'd like to ask Dr. John. Sorry, I'm out of breath. I had to run over to the TV studio, up to the TV studio, and turn off Justin's cameras and the hot lights were on that were on him, and then run back down here. 1-800-347-9829. You get on board, we'll go to your calls. Ask Dr. John, 1-800-347-9829. Dr. John, one last question, then we're going to the phones, and that is, can you describe how you went about constructing your chronological Bible charts?
Well, we have 10 charts that we've provided in plastic coated format for a three-ring notebook that have been used. Hundreds of thousands are distributing now. Three of them, of these 10, were done by my esteemed colleague, Dr. James L. Boyer, a New Testament scholar, and MacArthur Study Bible has adopted them and other people. And so we say, thank you, Lord, for using these to enlighten us as when things happen. The Bible is very committed to what? The time that things happen. You remember when the flood began? In the certain year, the certain month, the certain day, 6 days of creation, 1,000-year kingdom. And I say, Lord, what a challenge that is to get the timing of things correct from the Word of God. So we have spent years designing these. We trust they be of help and interest to you. And we, for example, we have one on the 70th week of Daniel. We have one, the last one, of the 1,000-year reign of Christ over the earth. And all the amazing things that happened in the first 75 days after the second coming. And what's going to happen during that 1,000 years with a perfect government, perfect environment, perfect education, no sickness, no death. And I say, Lord, help me to see, to picture the amazing things you have planned, the things you have done, the things you are doing, the things you're going to do in the 70th week of Daniel, the 1,000-year reign of Christ over the earth. Perhaps these would be of help to people. We have them available on our website, whitcombministries.org. We just want to be of help, dear friends, to realize how important it is to see the order in which things happen in the life of our Lord, the beginning
Absolutely.
Of the world, and how it's going to end during the kingdom that's coming.
Absolutely.
He has a plan, a program, and he's interested in chronology, the backbone of history.
Thank you, Dr. Whitcomb. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start out with line, let's go here, four. Line four, Mary, line four. Mary? Did we lose you, Mary, line four? I'm sorry, Mary. All right. Well, let's go to Daniel, line two. Daniel, go right ahead.
Hello. Mark chapter 13, verse 14. But when you see the desolating sacrilege set up where it ought not to be, let the reader understand. What is the desolating sacrilege which seems to begin the Great Tribulation?
Of course, we know that the Great Tribulation will be focused on the Antichrist, who will terrify the whole human race under Satan. And I apologize, I'm a little bit hard of hearing. Could you give me again that gospel reference in Mark?
What was it? Did anyone hear that, Mark? Did you guys catch that? I didn't catch it either. I'm sorry, Dr. Whitcomb, so it's not just you.
Okay, sorry about that.
That's all right.
If this is your brother and others like you, sir, appreciate your interest in what we're saying, just write down the question, email it to us so we can perhaps deal with it in our next program.
Sounds good. You can email us that, Daniel, info@worldviewweekend.com. Let's go to Brad, line three. Brad, go right ahead, Brad. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. For the life of me, I can't see what is so controversial about Bishop Usher's timeline. When God put down the patriarch's name, whoever he was, whether he was the father or the grandfather or the great-grandfather, it didn't matter because he gave the age of the patriarch before the son was born. So although it might skip a person or two, it does not skip the years that passed. So what is so controversial about that timeline?
Yes, if you look carefully at those chapters, Genesis 5 and 11, you'll see that in many cases, even though the age of the patriarch is given, the one who is described as a son is not a son but a grandson or a descendant.
Right.
So that's the thing that we are not perhaps understanding clearly. But we'll be glad to share some material we've done. We have some material that you might be interested in to see what God really meant by what he said in those genealogies and chronologies. And I appreciate your interest in this, and I agree with you. We have to be very careful how we handle these numbers, these dates, these times in the book of Genesis.
It doesn't matter, though. Hello?
Yeah, you're saying it doesn't matter?
That's yes, right. It's like saying, for instance, my dad was 29 when I was born. His dad was 54 at the same time. It's like saying, when my granddad was 54, I was born. You've got all the years included. You just skipped the person that would be my dad. But you still have all the years, so the timeline would be right.
I agree with you. Everything that God wrote is right. If you look at the genealogy, you'll see some very amazing things, just like the very first verse of the New Testament, as you well know, is astonishing, that Jesus Christ is the son of David, the son of Abraham, and if you didn't know the Old Testament, you'd think that Abraham was his grandfather, but there's a thousand-year gap between each of those names, and we know that, and I understand what you're saying, too, so we're very careful in how we handle God's precious word when it comes to genealogies.
Absolutely.
And so, if I can be of further help to you along that line, please let me know what I can do to be of help.
Let's go to line four. Gino. Gino, thanks for calling in. Go ahead, Gino.
Yes, I just had a question with, in your book, does it talk about with the creation of dinosaurs? Now, do you believe in dinosaurs and, like, God destroyed them in the flood, or do you think that they weren't here? Like, me, personally, as being a Christian, I might be the only one, but I don't believe in dinosaurs because I don't hear about them in the Bible. The only thing I hear about is like Leviathan, but I don't personally believe that.
All right, let me get the quick answer from Dr. Whitcomb. You believe in dinosaurs. He says he doesn't see them in the Bible, but we see large lizards. Don't we see lizards in the Bible?
Yes, the Bible tells quite a bit about dinosaurs. In fact, we have a CD set on dinosaurs and men that may be of interest and help to you. Dinosaurs in the book of Job, dinosaurs in the book of Genesis, and dinosaurs in modern discovery of dinosaurs that were buried the same time, the same year that human beings were buried by the hundreds of thousands and millions of the Genesis flood. So maybe that will be of interest and help to you, sir. But I appreciate your question and hope we can be helpful.
Visit him, folks. His website, WhitcombMinistries.org. Stay tuned for Crosstalk. Take care.
CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, VCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of WorldviewWeekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brandon House, and I want to wish all of you a wonderful summer, a relaxing time, hopefully a fellowship with family and friends, maybe some travel plans. But I also want to invite you to take Worldview Weekend radio and television ministries with you. You can do that through our free app at worldviewweekend.com/APP. And while you're on vacation this summer, why not tell your family and friends about our broadcast ministries of radio and television and the many different programs that we sponsor, not only our own radio and television program, but the radio and television programs we sponsor of other people's, like Usama Dakdok and Susan Heck and Jesse Johnson and Justin Peters and, let's see who else, Jimmy DeYoung and John Whitcomb. And, you know, the list is so long of all the broadcasters we have. Some of these programs are unique to us. We encourage them to start these programs, and we carry them as a broadcast ministry. So why not tell your friends about the radio and television broadcast ministries that they'll find at worldviewradio.com, worldviewradio.com, or at worldviewweekendtv.com. And then tell them about our free app at worldviewweekend.com/APP, worldviewweekend.com/APP, and get our free app. Now, we're going to have a brand new app out. About every 2 years, we have to redo our apps because they get where they don't work quite like they should, and they need to be updated with the new technology that's available. We also get a lot of feedback from you guys that tell us, hey, Brandon, when you redo your app, can you make it do this? Can you make it do that? And we've been collecting that feedback, and we've incorporated that into the new apps for iPhone and Android and iPad that we believe will be done and completed and released right around July 1st. Now, our apps are free. Why? Because one reason the Worldview Weekend Foundation exists is to distribute the biblical broadcasts that you hear at worldviewradio.com and at Worldview Weekend TV. And we want to make sure we have all the technology and platforms that allow those broadcasts to go out worldwide. And that's one of the projects Worldview Weekend Foundation is committed to, along with sponsoring our free Contend Conference for young people each January. So again, we have a brand new app. We've incorporated a lot of your suggestions. It's going to be very cutting edge and allow us to continue to broadcast worldwide. Now, if you appreciate our radio and television broadcast ministries and all the different ministries we sponsor through radio and television, and you appreciate the fact we're redoing this new app to the tune of about $12,000. That's how expensive it is to do these apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. But again, that app should be working and good for 2 years before we have to redo it again. And if you want to be a part of helping us underwrite that cost and the continued cost of the bandwidth and the streaming and the production of radio and television, we'd love to hear from you during the summer months with a tax-deductible contribution. You can do so right now at worldviewweekendfoundation.com, worldviewweekendfoundation.com. The shorter URL is WVW Foundation, WVWFoundation.com. If you prefer to send a check, you'll find our address at that website, worldviewweekendfoundation.com, worldviewweekendfoundation.com. Or as I said, if you're giving online with a smartphone, the shorter URL would be WVWFoundation.com. And again, you'll find our address there if you prefer to send the check. But thank you for being partners with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation as we use the technology to broadcast the seed of the gospel all around the world. So thank you for partnering with us through the Worldview Weekend Foundation, and I pray you have a very safe and refreshing summer vacation.